Chapter 26. The next morning. The next morning, Leonard woke up happy. The previous evening, he and Shelley had found a new closeness after sitting together quietly long enough for Leonard's wedding dinner to go cold. They had left unanswered the question of where they stood with each other, other than having a proper make-up kiss and agreeing to meet for lunch later in the week. He had walked her out to her sister's car and kissed her through the gap above the window, which would only wind down halfway. She pulled away with a beep beep and a wave, driving like a cyclist and ignoring the car park's one-way system. Sitting up in bed with a pillow at his back, Leonard rested a cup of hotel room tea on his tummy and watched the muted morning brightness creep through a gap in the drapes. He had to draw his legs towards him slightly on account of hungry Paul, who was sleeping across the bed in a position known in heraldry as bend sinister. Hungry Paul had every reason to be tired after a full and energetic evening, where he had stayed off alcohol and instead drank Lucozade, something which he had only previously enjoyed as a childhood cold remedy with suspect healing properties. When drunk throughout the night, and combined with the high spirits of a family wedding, however, it inspired him to come into his own as a wedding guest. Surely no man has ever put the Lindy Hop to better purpose, at one stage finding himself at the centre of a large circle from which he plucked countless female partners to hop with, Gloria Grimes, the writer, being among those to go back for a second spin. Of his solo dance performances, it was hard to top the one-man show he put on during Kung Fu Fighting, when he broke out his judo moves, his tie around his forehead, an improvised touch that he was later proud of. Once the music finished and most of the guests went to bed, Hungry Paul stayed up in the residence bar, though having switched to hot chocolate at that stage, and played top trumps with Grace. It was the Mythical Beasts set, which Hungry Paul had been carrying in his breast pocket all day. Even though it was her wedding day and she had been so good to him over the years, he still trounced her, though it would have been hard to do otherwise since he had been dealt the Kraken, which was unbeatable on every category except speed. In fairness to Grace, she was somewhat distracted by Hungry Paul telling her the news about his job at the National Mime Association and his plans for Quiet Club, which Lambert had loved and was helping him organise. For once, she let her pride silence her scepticism, sisters sometimes having the good sense to know that practicality isn't everything. Upstairs, in the bridal suite, Grace and Andrew had woken up to breakfast in bed, including a complimentary bottle of Prosecco from the hotel. Before going to sleep, Grace had ticked everything on the menu and hung it on the outer doorknob. They had the usual selection of juices, porridge, toast, and a cooked breakfast, which even included the more modern additions like hash browns. She didn't remember ticking the box for kippers, but in any event, there they were. She toyed with the idea of putting them under the duvet on Andrew's side, in case he tried to creep back to bed after his early morning wee. The wedding day had been magical. Grace had enjoyed a cheerful serenity all day, her facial muscles now feeling the strain of the posed smiles, not to mention the hilarity of the evening reception. She had been a social and gregarious bride, table-hopping to make sure she had conversations with everyone, and then dancing in her bare feet to Come On Eileen, her legs kicking a raucous can-can. At one stage, Andrew snuck her outside for a little walk and a covert slice of wedding cake. They did a turn around the castle by themselves, and she could see how happy he was. Already he was calling her his wife every chance he got, and looking at her in a love-struck, staring way whenever she was talking to him. As he came in from the ensuite, drying his hands and fiddling with his ring and the soap stuck underneath it, he leaned over and kissed Grace on the back of her neck. "Have you enough to eat?" he asked. "Oh, I got you kippers, by the way. If you loved me, you'd eat them." Andrew did a barfing face. "What was your favourite thing?" she asked. "I mean about yesterday. And don't say, your beautiful dress, Grace, or your loving eyes. I mean, what was really the best?" He thought for a few seconds. Oh, let me see. Maybe the church or the first dance. Actually, do you know what it was? Go on, surprise me. My favourite bit was sitting in the Inspector Morse Jag just after we got married. Our first private moment as a married couple. Just the two of us. Happy. Starving, mind you, but yes, happy. How about you? Grace went quiet for a sec. I think it was my dad's speech. He just emptied himself into it without being mawkish. It had such emotional clarity. He has known me all my life, and our relationship just seems to have got richer now that we're both older. It was a big moment for him. I know that. He really, really wanted to capture it just right. He was so... what's the word I'm looking for? Tender. Yes, that's it. Tender. I had never realised that it was possible to make someone feel so loved at the very moment you are letting them go. I'll never forget it. She lifted the bell covers off the plates and started into her first married breakfast, clearing the mushrooms onto Andrew's plate and taking his hash brown. She swiveled around. How about let's eat this and then go back to bed? What do you think? She asked. Andrew clinked his apple juice with hers and poured honey on his pre-coital porridge. Downstairs, Helen was sitting at the roll-top writing desk in her room, having a coffee and looking out over the foggy morning. Peter was still asleep after another snory night, his hay fever made worse by the wheat beers he had been drinking. He had done well. She had known he was good at presentations at work, but had not heard him give a speech since their own wedding all those years ago. The way he opened up and spoke about their family and what it meant to him. The way he spoke about Helen. "The one true love of my lifetime," he had said. And he, an economist of all things. It had been a special day. Those long phone calls with Grace over the previous few weeks paying off, as all the meticulous details came together beautifully without seeming fussy. Helen would miss those calls. Grace would soon be off on her extended honeymoon, and it wouldn't be cheap to call from Japan. After that, who knows? Grace getting married that little bit older meant that they wouldn't delay starting a family. "The fun is in the trying," her own father had said to her at that stage. After Hungry Paul had explained to her the previous evening about his new job and the availability of an executive bedsit, Helen couldn't deny the nascent feeling that she was entering a new stage in her life, that some important decisions and choices would have to be confronted soon, but could wait for now. It was strange that after all the years of getting the kids to be independent, she would feel so daunted at having her life back. But it was the nature of being a parent. The kids' lives are their own. From day one, you are handing it back to them, bit by bit, until they move on. She looked across at Peter, sleeping. The man she had spent her life on, and whom she loved so much. It had been so long since they had had an unencumbered relationship. They had talked about it on and off, travel plans, date nights, maybe even downsizing and freeing up a few bob. She could barely admit to herself the minor panic in her abdomen at the thought of it being the two of them, and just the two of them, from here on in. She finished her coffee and hopped back into bed. Her feet were a little cold, and Peter stirred as she warmed them under his legs. He pulled her gently towards him, still fitting like two jigsaw pieces after all these years.